Blog Talk Radio.
And now I present to you that International Bible Teacher of Teachers, Seer Israel of Seed Well. He will utter dark sayings and mysteries which have been kept from the foundation of the world, showing us the way to go. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
True Israelites with your host, the Seer of Seed Royal.
To the four corners of the globe, praise his righteous and powerful name. Hallelujah. Yahweh Radio. Worldwide International Radio Broadcast, Yahweh Radio, is now on the air. I be your host, thy name, your Israel, of Seed Royal. Well, we're doing a series called Revealing the Number of the Beast, 666, Son of Edition, tape number 126. And we revealing the number of the beast. That's a powerful statement right there. So that's a continuation of things that got to be revealed about the number of the beast. Who is the beast? How do you know that the beast is hovering over you? How do you know? So that can go so many ways. So what we're going to do is open the lines up and get our elder lead teacher out of Camp 1. So we might as well get busy and see which way the lesson gone, because that can go so many ways. And all we're going to do is let the Bible do the talking, because we always get stumbled around in our words. But one thing about it, we know the game changer is the word of Yahweh. So let's even find our L. Lead teacher out of Camp 1, Yahdai Israel. Let's even find Yahdai Israel and bring him in, and let's see what gets something going on tape number 126. So when you meet our L, the loud voice you say, Elder Yahdai Israel, Yahdai DJ FC Roy.
Yahdai bless you, see Israel. I see Royal. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, Yahweh. Well, one thing I can tell you, Elder Fair Abimelech, the curtain hair went up. And we just have to understand one thing. The word of Yahweh is going to draw you, or it's going to drive you. But one thing we know about the word of Yahweh, it will expose you. Whatever on you, whatever in you, the word of Yahweh is going to hit that nerve. And that's a great thing for one thing about it. That's big talk I just said. So let's see if we get something going on here about going to the book of Luke, chapter 12, verse 12. Let's see if we get something going on behind that statement. I'm kind of anxious to get something going on. I don't know which way we're going. Chapter 12, Luke, chapter 12. First prayer. God, Israel, what's that say? Come on.
Book of Luke, chapter 12. Verse number 12 reads, "For the righteous spirit shall teach you in the same hour what you ought to say."
In that very same hour, the righteous spirit will teach you what you ought. And that's the game changer right there. The righteous spirit got to teach you what you ought to say. And you got to understand about this righteous spirit. See, that's big talk right there. And that's chapter 5, Elder. Let's see if we help the national audience out. We see it's hacked to the max. How the hell he'd be on case about it a little bit later in the broadcast. We're going to be down the road a little piece. So the righteous spirit would teach you what you ought to say. So in Acts chapter 5, 7 down to verse 32, let's take a look. Let's walk down that course and see what we can get out of Acts chapter 5, verse 27 down to verse 32. Take your time, Elvin. Let's see if we can get something going on there. Come on.
The book of Acts, chapter 5, verse number 27, verse number 32 reads. Acts chapter 5, verse number 27 reads, "When they had brought them, they set them before the council. And the high priest asked them," verse 28, "saying, did not we straightly command you that you should not teach in this name? Behold, you have filled your God Judah with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us." Verse 29. "Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we are to obey Yahweh rather than man." Verse 30. "Yahweh, our fathers, raised up Yahweh the son, whom you slew and hanged on a tree." Verse 31. "Him have Yahweh the father exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, but to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sin." Verse 32. "And we are his witnesses of these things, and so is also the righteous spirit, whom Yahweh has given to them that obey him."
We ought to understand something. Read that verse 32 again, because that's one of the greatest mysteries in teaching. You think we just can jump down in this Bible, and then we can, let's get a case in point. Hold that point while you read verse 32, Elder. But we come back to verse 32, Elder. But I need a case in point, Elder. In the book of the 19th chapter of Acts, Elder, I got to get a case in point. Because, see, what if we think is one thing, and the Bible will tell you something totally different. Let's see what it says in Acts chapter 19, Elder. We're going to pick it up at the gift that was given to Paul, and we want to read a little bit about this situation there, Elder. We're going to 19, and we'll take it right on down to verse number 18. We're going to Acts chapter 19 and pick up 11 down to verse number 18. Let's see if we get some out of this, Elder. Like I said again, we're going to be taking notes as it unfolds itself. But in Acts chapter 19, verse 11 to 18, what the hell? Come on.
The book of Acts chapter 19, verse number 11 to verse number 18 reads. Book of Acts chapter 19, verse number 11 reads. And Yahweh wrought special miracles by the hand of Paul. Verse 12. So that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchief of Ephron. And the disease departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Verse 13. The servant of the vagabond, Yahda Judah, exorcist, took upon them to call over them, which had evil spirits, the name of Yahweh, saying, we adjure you by Yahweh the Son, whom Paul preaches. Verse 14. There were seven sons of one skipper of Yahda Judah, and chief of the priests, which did so. Verse 15. And the evil spirit answered and said, Yahweh the Son I know, Paul I know, but who are you? Verse 16. And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them, and overcame them, and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house, naked and wounded. Verse 17. And this was known to all of Yahweh Judah, and the scattered Israelites also dwelling at Ephesus, and fear fell on them all, and the name of Yahweh the Son was magnified. Verse 18, and many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds.
Ain't that something? Well, you see, this righteous spirit, it all will be laying on the ones that obey him. You understand something? Come on this broadcast 6 nights a week. And we give it all we got 6 nights a week. The teacher out of senior citizens, elderly class through the week. And we be telling the elderly one thing. The righteous spirit is only going to rest with you if you obey. You got to obey, Steve Ray. This is one of our biggest, one of the greatest mysteries in teaching is we don't obey the righteous spirit. And the righteous spirit shows up on them that obey him. Now, in the book of Hebrews there, Elder, I want you to the book of it. Here's what I like about the word of Yahweh. Because you don't know where you're going. You got to wait till you hear something. And something's going to trick off the lesson. And that's when we tell, hey, Phil, what's the kind of lesson going to be tonight? Well, I don't know. Because the righteous spirit will teach you what you ought to say. See? So you have to listen to the lesson carefully. And then whatever you feel that righteous spirit will move you on, then you put the title on that list. That's how you do. See, that's right. I mean, we're not being pumped. No, we change. We don't know. Because we might have our things on our mind that teach on. But then the right experience is, yeah, that's what you had on your mind. Huh? Now look at it. Look at a lot of these things. See, what can we read that at? See what you read that at. Hold that point, Elder. You got two markers there. So, hold that point. Let me take care of a lot of these things behind that one. Matter of fact, I think it's in the 19th chapter of Acts there, Elder. And the Acts chapter 19, you take care of a lot of these things. And Acts chapter 19 there, Elder. So you have a lot of things on your mind, but Yahweh might have something else on his mind. So let's go to the 16th chapter of Acts, and let's get a case in point on that. So I'm going to get a case in point on that because Paul was over there in parts of Europe, Vatican land. And he started visiting the elders that was all over the place. And let's see what happened in verse number 6. Let's get right down to it in 16, verse 6. Let's see what it says in Acts 16, verse 6. And we'll take it on down to verse number 19. So that's an excellent point you try to make there, Latter-day Saints. That's a pretty excellent point. But let's walk down memory lane on that. By Elder in Acts 16. And we'll pick it around about verse number 6. Pick it up verse number 6. And we'll take it out to verse number 9. Acts 16, 6 through 9. Y'all got Israel. Come on.
The book of Acts, chapter 16, verse number 6 through 9 reads. Book of Acts 16, verse number 6 reads. And when they had gone throughout Pergia and the region of Galatia, were forbidden of the righteous spirit to teach the word in Asia. Verse number 7. After they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. Verse number 8, they passed by Mysia, came down to Tarsus. Verse number 9, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us.
Thank you, Jackson. So, we come on this broadcast is we might have one thing on our mind, but Yahweh has made it plain. Paul was going to do one thing, but the righteous spirit hemmed him up and said, no, Paul, in a vision, you go over to Macedonia, because Macedonia and Europe, the Hispanic land, they need help. They need some word. They on fight. They want to receive the word of Yahweh. You see that? So that's why he made that statement. And see, you see he said, come over there, come over here and help us. Now let's precept that to Romans 15, L. Now you hear that? Come over to Macedonia and help us. So that's what that is right there. So now we're going to go to Romans chapter 15. So we're going to precept that to Romans and chapter 15 by the righteous spirit sending Paul there. Now we can go to Romans chapter 15 and we'll pick up verse 22, Elder. We'll read down to get our point. We go on to Romans chapter 15 and we'll get a precept on that. Now you see the ones over there at Macedonia. They said, come over here and help us, Paul. Okay, good. Now we're going to precept that and see what we get out of that, Elder. We're going to pick it up around by verse number. Pick it around by verse number. Let's see if we can get a precept on that. We go on to Romans chapter 15, verse 24, and we'll read down to verse number 29. Romans chapter 15, 24, 29. Yahweh Israel, come on.
The book of Romans, chapter 15, verse number 24 to verse number 29 reads, Romans chapter 15, verse 24 reads, whensoever I take my journey into Spain, I will come to you. For I trust to see you in my journey and to be brought on my way thitherward by you. But first I be somewhat filled with your company. Verse 25. But now I go unto Yahweh Judah to minister unto the saints. Verse 26. But it pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor saints which are at Yahweh Judah. Verse 27. And it pleased them truly that their debtors they are. For if the scattered Israelites have been made partakers of their spiritual things, their duty is also to minister unto them in carnal things. Verse 28. When therefore I have performed this and have sealed to them this fruit, I will come by you into Spain. Verse 29. Now I am sure that when I come unto you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessing of the covenant of Yahweh the Son.
See what's going on here? That's what I'm saying. So you see what's going on here? So the Spirit told Paul to go over there to Macedonia because they need help in understanding the word of Yahweh. Because remember, the scattered Israelites, the Israelites, they scattered all over the world as they are today. They need help. But one thing about the help, you got to understand something. We come to help. But the same token, by you hearing this broadcast, you have duties and obligations also to do. If we help you in spiritual things, you understand that you've been taught wrong all over the place and can prove it through the pages of the book, your duties is to minister to this ministry called Yahweh Voice of the True Israelites and kernel things. You know, 10% of that money for land, school, banquet hall, and radio things, but we can do more. We got to have a big outlet where they can fly all over the world and come in and sit down at Yahweh's Voices of the True Israelites and learn the word. And it's going to happen. That's why this going to get louder and louder and louder. So international side, over 900,000 packed in. All the big dignitaries listen, taking notes. But one thing about it, when you listen, taking notes, you got duties to do. Help us help you. Because what are we going to do? No, we ain't buying no jet. We ain't buying no airplane. No, what we going to do? We're going to put it where you can come in and learn, where you can bring your parents, your elderly in, and they can sit down and learn the truth before they get up out of here and go to the ground. Before 12:07 a.m., before Ecclesiastes 12:07 happened to them. See, before 12:07 happened to them, we have a place ready for them. What's going on that we can read in 12:07 of Ecclesiastes?
The book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, verse number 7 reads, "Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto Yahweh, who gave it."
You hear that? You are the dust. Look at the Roman Catholic Church. Where that is? What do you mean, where that is? You mean Genesis 2, verse 7. Genesis 2, verse 7. What? I mean, according to the record, the Roman Catholic Church is the biggest organization it is, and the latter-day WCC is second to them. Now, this great big organization asked me, what can I read that we are the dust? You mean we spend all that money to the Roman Catholic Church that got to eating hogs and keeping sons? And the question is, where is that we are the dust at? Let's see what it says we can read in Genesis 2, verse 7. What it say in 2, verse 7?
Book of Genesis 2, verse number 7 reads, "And Yaakov formed man of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life."
Hey. You see that?
"And breathed into his nostrils the breath of life."
Man is born from the dust of the ground. Man did not come from up and away. That is not where man come from, and that is not what man gone. Although Pope Gregory invented purgatory, when you're at a funeral, at a Catholic funeral, where you know your loved ones halfway between heaven and earth, you start crying. What can I do to get them past stuff in purgatory, call? Hey, you know, if I'm saying that word right, because I might get more calls on it if I'm saying the word right than what I'm trying to bring to the table. If we saying the word right there, you know,
That's correct.
Okay, yeah, about table. We got a minute. Look up the definition of that word purgatory or the national. Let's see what that word means. Let's see what we can find out what that word means. Because Pope Gregory, he is the founder and the author of purgatory. See, Pope Gregory, he was an Atlantist, spent a lot of Catholic Church money. So he got in debt. Got in big time debt. He said, God, dog, he went to his cardinals and clergymen. Look here. I'm spending some money. I've got debt.
Purgatory.
We don't got in debt. All the money that I'm spending. He said, you got to come with something. He said, well, and they put their heads together. They came up with what's called purgatory. So we said, what's that supposed to mean? He said, you know, like when your loved ones die and then they halfway between heaven and earth, tell them that if they hit that box heavy and let them a big cardinal hold them by the ankle and shake them in that box, you come out of the dead. Oh. So you see that? So they started teaching about purgatory. And we might have another word that we're going to bring up in a minute after Elder found out and let the national audience hear what the word purgatory means. What it mean to Elder? Come on.
I'm looking in the Merriam-Webster's dictionary online. Purgatory, and it reads, intermediate state after death for expiatory purification, especially a place or state of punishment, where in accordance to the Roman doctrine, the Roman Catholic Church doctrine, the souls of those who die in Yahweh's grace may make satisfaction for their past sin, and so become fit for heaven.
Mm-hmm. Well, I need to hear a little bit more. I need to hear about the part about, you know, we got plenty of time here. I want to hear about the time, about the part about if the souls die and they stuck between heaven and earth. That's the part I want to hear. So I want to hear the part that is record of the Catholic Church telling you that there's another word they got that you can buy something. You can buy your way up there. They got a word on that too, Elder. So we got a lot of time, Elder. We might want to take a look at that because they say you can buy your way up into heaven, up and away. So I need to know that word too, but I need to know more about this purgatory, about when your parents or your loved ones or your friend is stuck between heaven and earth. I need to hear a little bit about that, that stuck between heaven and earth, and how you can pay to get them to, you know, to jumpstart them and keep going up. So help me out here. Let's work with those things a little bit. Hey, let's see what we can come up with. Come on.
Yeah, I'm not saying that particular phrase here.
Okay, well, I'll tell you what we do on that then. We put a Daniel 2:16 on that. We'll come back on that later. We give us time to come back on that. Well, I ain't through with that yet, but it's called purgatory. It's called in the Roman Catholic religion, your parents are between heaven and earth. Well, matter of fact, let's see what you come up with in the Catholic Church of when your loved one is between heaven and earth. Let's see what you get. Let's take a shot at it, see what we get by saying, in the Catholic Church, what about when your parents or your loved one is between heaven and earth? What do the Catholic Church call that? What do they call that, Elder? Let's find out what they call that. Come on. We got plenty of time, Elder. Come on.
One
I tell you what I do. All right. I tell you what. While you know that, let me play another one of these messages off the machine, and I give you time to signify this thing on what we're looking for here. And I give you time to play this after-scene message. they lead folks through a lot of messages. And we'll listen to it. And we'll see what we get. But we're coming back, but we'll give you plenty of time here to grab back a little bit, take a little over to you. And we're going to see, going to find out, what do the Catholic Church call that? If they got a word for it, Hill, about when you're passing between heaven and earth after death. So you have to go sit out and see if you come up with that. Why I play this until we come up with that. Let's play this for a minute.
Pleaded to a Palestinian's home for a meal and plan to bring a bottle of wine as a gift for the family. Be prepared for a hostile. When you bring it, they might throw the bottle away and angrily ask you to leave. Why? Because you don't understand them. According to the teachings of Allah, followers of Islam are not allowed to use stimulants like alcohol because they make people lose their reason and can lead to regrettable sins. Muslim believers highly respect and follow the teachings of their Almighty, and therefore some Islamic countries' governments have issued orders prohibiting the consumption of alcoholic beverages. Devout Muslims never drink beer or wine throughout their lives. If you are invited to a Muslim family, it's best not to give them wine or beer. In Palestinian weddings, you won't find a drop of alcohol. The most delicious beverage you can find might be carbonated soft drinks. And if not, then stick to plain water. Number 9, creation of pork consumption. When in Palestine, you'll have a variety of interesting food options to choose from, but there will be absolutely no dishes made with pork. I can confidently tell you that 90 of Palestinians have never tasted the flavor of pork until their passing. Once again, the reason stems from Islam. A passage in the Quran prohibits the consumption of pork through deep analysis. There are two main reasons why Muslim believers believe that eating pork is harmful to their health and moral aim. First, pigs are unclean animals and carry many harmful diseases for humans. Second, it has a negative impact on one's character due to the frequent exchange of mates, as pigs are known to be promiscuous. Therefore, Islamic restaurants often use beef as a main and popular dish. Pork is one of the most common foods globally, with approximately 1 billion pigs slaughtered for consumption every year, widely used in many culinary cultures. However, for some religions like Judaism or Islam, pork is considered forbidden, while Hindus refrain from consuming beef. Due to their reverence for cows, Muslims avoid pork because it is deemed impure for the body. The Holy Quran, the sacred scripture of Islam, clearly lists certain prohibited foods, and pork is among them. So when you're here, don't be surprised if you can't find any dishes made with pork.
Nobody falls down on the floor unless someone is back of you to catch you. So the Lord, when you do, then just fall flat on concrete, you call it a day. But if you look at the schemes, less water, oil from Jerusalem, all these type of gimmicks. Church supposed to be designed for to develop the people mentally, spiritually, physically, in every manner. And church is denomination. Listen, that, yeah. Basically, my argument is this: God is one, and if you search the scriptures, all these religions that exist today, you don't find them in the scriptures. And if you don't find them in the scriptures, then you're responsible for their existence. Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, Lutheran, non-denominational. I mean, it's like an open buffet. 30 churches in one neighborhood, and everybody come out Christians 30 different ways.
All right. So, got an extra bargain on that. So now, Elder, now tell me, Elder, what have you found that what happened after a Roman Catholic death? What do they call it? We clearly it's purgatory, but what have you come up with, Elder, for the national audience to be enlightened? I like what he said, that when you gather, it's supposed to enlighten you on information, and that's what we're getting ready to do right now. What you working with, Elder? Come on.
I'm really not seeing that particular statement, but I read what I get. Purgatory can be referred to as a place, condition, or process of purification of the soul. When a person dies, they get a chance to find a place in heaven by purging themselves of their remaining sins and any other attachment to the pleasures derived from the same. Purgatory is not a hope for hurting sinners. It is a path for those who fall in between sinners and saints.
That's good enough. So we'll get a little bit more on that as the week unfolds. But that's great. So you said purgatory is a word that's in between. See, we fill out the blank in between what? Heaven and earth. They in between heaven and earth. That means the spirit of them is between heaven and between earth. That what it means. So that's what's going on here. The spirit between heaven and earth. And then Pope Gregory and his council board, they come up with purgatory, meaning if your loved one is between heaven and earth, and we in debt, if you hit that box pretty good, we can get them from out of debt position into the position up in heaven. So we'll get more on that as it unfolds. We'll get more information on it, because the research team will get on that, and they'll have those here what they need to work with. So, and that's a great thing. But what I just heard a minute ago, the church is supposed to enlighten you. You go to the church to be enlightened, not to be pronounced. And that's a big word there. The church is supposed to enlighten you. Now that was a big word. Now let's go find out about this church. The church is supposed to enlighten you. That's big talk. But let's start out the Bible definition of the word called church. The Bible definition of the word called church is supposed to enlighten you. Okay. I like that. Let's go to Acts 7:23. Let's find out the biblical definition of the word church by going to Acts 7:23 and find out what's going on. Acts 7:23.
The book of Acts, chapter 7, verse number 23.
Mm-hmm.
Book of Acts, chapter 7, verse number 23 reads, Acts 7, verse 23. When he was full 40 years old, it came into his mind to visit his brethren, the family of Israel.
Mm-hmm. So Moses was, when he was full 40 years old, it came in his mind to visit his brothers, the children of Israel. And let's see what, let's talk more about Moses visiting his brothers and what name they got on his brethren in verse number 38. Now watch this, how we precept that and see what they got on Moses' brothers, the children of Israel, in verse 38. What does it say, yo?
Look at Acts 7, verse 38. This is he that was in the church in the wilderness.
You see that? So what has Jesse played his brother and children of Israel? The church. You see that theme, right? The church, biblically, is a polluted word for the children of Israel, because the children of Israel was the one in the wilderness. So when you see this word called church, biblically speaking, it's referring to the children of Israel in the wilderness. And when you precept that to the 17th chapter of Exodus, we'll find out what in the wilderness. Is it a church in the wilderness? Or it is what Moses went to visit. See, when you precept your Bible, that's the game changer right there. So we're going to 17 verse 1, Elder, and see exactly who Moses visited in the wilderness. Did he visit a church? Or did he visit somebody else? We're going to find out by precepting your Bible. 17 verse 1 says what?
Book of Exodus 17, verse number 1 reads, and all the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness.
All the congregation of children of Israel, from the word called church, biblically it means the whole congregation of the children of Israel. Then when you precept that, in the book of Hosea, Joshua, chapter 14, verse 10, and then we're going back down, to business. We don't get a precept on that. Joshua, chapter 14, verse 10, precept, what it say?
The book of Joshua, Hosea, chapter 14, verse number 10 reads, the book of Joshua, chapter 14, verse number 10, Book of Joshua 14, verse number 10 reads, and now, behold, Yahweh has kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Yahweh spake this word unto Moses, while the family of Israel wandered in the wilderness.
You see that? So, when you're talking about the church, biblically speaking, it's talking about the children of Israel. And he also says about the children of Israel, plainly in 49:28 of Genesis, it talks about the children of Israel by saying what? In 49 verse 28, what it talks about and saying what?
The book of Genesis, chapter 49. Verse number 28 reads, Genesis 49, verse 28. All these are the 12 tribes of Israel.
And all these are the 12 tribes of Israel. And once upon a time ago, all these 12 tribes of Israel was upon the what? Once upon a time ago, continue reading.
And this is it that their father spake unto them and blessed them. Everyone according to his blessing, he blessed them.
Once upon a time ago, the whole 12 tribes of Israel was up on a blessing. But what happened? That's where they come. So what happened? We just preach them about what happened. We're going to Deuteronomy 28. And we'll look at verse 1, 2, 15, 16, and 25. Deuteronomy, what happened? Deuteronomy 28, 1, 2, 15, and 16, and 25. Let's find out what happened if all of the 12 tribes of Israel, once upon a time ago, was upon a blessing. Then what we need to find out on tape 126, then what happened then? Is he up under blessing today? Deuteronomy 28, verse 1, 2, 15, 16, and 25. What is that else?
Book of Deuteronomy, chapter 28, verse number 1 and 2, verse number 15 and 16, verse number 25 reads, Book of Deuteronomy 28. Verse number 1 reads, and it shall come to pass, if you shall hearken diligently unto the voice of Yahweh, your Yahweh, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command you this day. The Yahweh, your Yahweh, will set you on high above all nations of the earth. Verse number 2, and all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if you shall hearken unto the voice of Yahweh, your Yahweh. Verse number 15. But it shall come to pass, if you will not hearken to the voice of Yahweh, to observe to do all his commandments, his statutes, which I command you this day, that all these curses shall come upon you and overtake you. Verse 16, cursed shall you be in the city, and cursed shall you be in the field. Verse 25, Yahweh shall cause thee to be smitten before thine enemies. You shall go out one way against them, and flee seven ways before them, and shall be removed into all the kingdoms of the earth.
Mm-hmm. You tell the children of Israel that if you don't listen to me, you're going to be removed, and you're going to be in all the kingdoms of the earth. You're talking to the blessed 12 tribes of Israel. If you don't listen to me, you're going to be removed. That means somebody can come take you to all of the kingdoms of the earth. You will be removed unto all the kingdoms of the earth. And when you get there, you're going to be a verse 37. You'll be a verse 37 when you get there. In all the kingdoms of the earth, you'll be a verse 37. What is that?
The book of Deuteronomy 28, verse 37 reads, you shall become an astonishment, a proverb, and a byword among all nations, where the Yahweh shall lead you.
You see that? You're going to be a byword and a proverb among all the nations that Yahweh shall lead you. Is that what you're going to be? And another thing going to happen to you, the one that's above the blessed seed. And Deuteronomy 32, verse 26. What else going to happen to you? And Deuteronomy 32, verse 26. Let's see what's going to happen to you. A proverb and a byword. Children of Israel, you're going to be a proverb and a byword, and you will be removed to all the kingdoms of the earth, and you'll be a proverb and a byword. And what else going to happen to you? 32, verse number 26 of Deuteronomy. What's going to happen to you? Come on.
Book of Deuteronomy 32, verse number 26 reads, I said, I will scatter them into corners, or will make the remembrance of them to cease from among men.
Ain't that something? Here's the man's friend. The man said he gonna make nobody is gonna remember you anymore. You'll be a byword and a proverb among all the nations. You have a tag on you. Your tag gonna be on you gonna be called, if you're from the tribe of Judah, you'll be called African American, Negro in color and super color. If you're from Issachar, Gad, through all them tribes, you'll be called Puerto Rican, Mexican, and Latino. Is that what happened to you? All because you would not listen to me when I spoke through Moses' mouth to tell you this was going to happen to you. This is in the 1400s. So that's why we got to come now. And we come to Psalm 69 for you. Hey, national audience. You know what the boss, Yahweh's boss of Jews might come to do? Do you know what we're coming to do? On 69 verse 4 with you. What is that in 69 verse 4, Elvin?
Book of Psalm 69, verse number 4. They that hate me without a cause are more than the hairs of my head. They that would destroy me, being my enemies wrongfully, are mighty. Then I restore that which I took not away.
That come to restore what we took not away. We didn't take away your national identity. We just found out that the word church is a E-Z-R-A 262. Every time you see the word church, every time you see on the building it's called a church, then we come to
enlighten your eyes that when you see the word church, it is a EZRA 262 if it come out your mouth. That's what it says. EZRA, Book of Answers, 262. When you see the word church now, you have to say, you ain't got a church home. Come here, let me lay my hands on you, and you have one. But let's tell you what the Bible says about when you see the word church. What do it mean biblically? Let's see what it means biblically, Elder. EZRA chapter 2, verse 52.
The book of Ezra, EZRA 2, verse 62 reads, these out there registered among those that were reckoned by genealogy, but they were not found. Therefore were they as polluted, put from priesthood.
Polluted, because how you identify the people of the book is through genealogy. And if people didn't talk about who you identify through the book by genealogy, when you precept your Bible, in 1 Chronicles 9:1, it tells you exactly. And then we're going to precept that. Then watch what they do in 1 Peter 5:13. Now watch how you want to catch them way ahead. We're going to read the whole verse and watch what they say while your mind is fresh on it. Watch what they do before your eyes on the right side of the book. 1 Chronicles 9:1. Then precept it immediately, Elder, and 5:13, and watch what they do right before your eyes, and you can catch them red-handed. You know, I can catch the hand in the dough, in the flour. Say, who put the hand in my flour? I don't know. What you mean you don't know? You put your brown hand into my flower, and it's covering your whole hand up, my man. And you say, you don't know? Now you see they do. He said, now I've got to do something to you, because look at your hand. Your hand is full of flour. And you tell me you don't know who put the hand in my flower. You see, this is what we're up under right now. The powers that be have lied to you so hard and long that you don't know what to believe now. You see? But then the Bible tell you what to believe, but you pay no level mind. Matter of fact, hold that point, Elder. What are you supposed to believe anyway, according to 2 Chronicles 20:20? 1 Chronicles 20:20. First or second. You know what I mean. See, the Bible tell you, I don't know what to believe now. I don't know. I'm a member of the Roman Catholic Church. I'm a member of the Christian establishment. I'm a Muslim. I'm all over the place. I don't know what to believe. I give up. Then why don't you just listen to what he says in 1 Chronicles 20:20? Why don't you just believe the Bible? What did the Bible say?
The book of 1 Chronicles 20:20 reads, 1 Chronicles 20:20. And I don't see it there, see ya.
We'll make a 2 Chronicles. Now I know we're right there, Elder. Let me see me peep at it. Let's go see a peep at it. Yeah, make it 2 Chronicles 20. Thank you, Elder. That's right, Elder. There you go. Give me 2 Chronicles 20. Verse number, whatever we say, 2020. What is saying? Hey, you need a broadcast one called 2020. Mike, just come on up. I wonder if they get in here. 2 Chronicles 20:20. What is saying?
Look at 2 Chronicles 20:20. They rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, the host of fat stood and said, hear me, O Yahweh Judah, and you inhabitants of the southern kingdom. Believe in Yahweh, your Yahweh, so shall you be established. But even seers, so shall you be, so shall you prosper.
You see the man, man. But you see, I don't know what to believe now. I'm off into everything. I don't know what to believe. Then why don't you believe the Bible? I mean, you got the Bible on the coffee table, right? Believe the Bible. Then when you precept that to Acts 15:15, it comes right back at this verse right here. When you precept the Bible in Acts 15:15, what is the hell? Or what to believe? Acts 15:15.
Book of Acts 15, verse 15 reads, and to the Greek, the words of the seers, as it is written.
And what is written there? Written in 2020. It tells you what to believe. See, that's why we got to come now. Yahweh's voice number two is like, we got to come now. Because we don't know what to believe now. Why don't you believe the Bible in it? But what kind of way? As it's written. We just told you plainly that we, in the early part of the lesson, that showing that the word church is polluted for the children of Israel. So when you preach a time before you even got a sign saying the church house, then you already know he's limited of information. I mean, he's just only being a parakeet. Because the word church is polluted for the children of Israel. Because he found out that all Israel was 1 Chronicles 9:1. What is that 9:1 now, yo? Now remember, you're going to 1 Chronicles 9:1. Then we'll show you how you catch them red-handed on their thumb around with this word called the children of Israel. Huh? We're going to catch them red-handed in 1 Peter by the chief speaker of the nation of Israel in 5:13. Watch over here, not Dr. Paul. Come on, yo.
The book of 1 Chronicles chapter 9, verse number 1 reads, so all Israel were reckoned by genealogy.
Yeah, read a little bit more. And what happened?
And behold, they were written in the book of the kings of Israel and Judah, who were carried away to Babylon for their transgression.
So you see that? And see, they were carried away. Now remember, all Judah and Israel, Southern Northern King was carried to Babylon for their sin, right? Now, if you preach up your Bible right away, those got in here in 5:13. Look what they call all Judah and Israel in 5:13, just as Babylon. What word on them on the right side of the book? What is the hell?
Book of 1 Peter chapter 5. Verse number 13, the church that is at Babylon.
Who did they call you? They call the children of Israel the church. And we told you what that means in Ezra 2:16. The word church, it is a polluted word biblically for the whole southern and northern kingdom of Israel. You see that? And then your preacher stand before you and tell you, if you ain't got a church home, then come here and let me put my hands on you and you'll have a church home. You see that? But we just went to the Bible and show you solemnly the word church is polluted for the children of Israel. Because all Israel is reckoned through genealogy. It's no genealogy on no church. Genealogy on the children of Israel. Huh? See? It's genealogy on the children of Israel. So now we see Mother D of Israel. So look here. Hey, see, let me get in on a little bit of that. You see, we bring Mother D of Israel in for this lesson 126. And one thing about these mothers, they ready to do their part too. They'll change something. We got to take care of this business in Yahweh. So it's time to get in where you fit in at. Huh? If you find out right now when your preacher tell you about a church home, it's a polluted word for the children of Israel. And we can go on and on about that, but we not. We just gonna see can we bring our mother and she's coming on stage, Mother D of Israel, and see if she wanna holler that microphone a little bit. That's what it's all about. Hollering that microphone. And sooner or later, our sister B, BSJ Israel, gonna say, let's sit there. I'm about ready to holler that microphone too. But when you get ready, we ready. So Mother D of Israel, Yahweh Israel, see you right.
Yahweh bless you, Seer Israel of Seroy. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So, Mo, we know you come to holler that microphone with this queuing after great man. So, let me get a verse out here, Mo. What do it say we can read in Luke 21, verse 10 out of verse 21? And it'll have me St. John chapter 16, 1 through 5, where it's known. Hey, Mother D.F. Israel, what do we say in Luke 21, verse 10 to 21? Take the time and do your part in some dust says, Yahweh, one of the mug out of Cam 1. Luke 21, 10 to 21, come on.
Luke chapter 21, verse 10 and verse 21.
Take it straight on down. Take it straight on down. 10 down to 21. Take it straight on down there, Mother.
All right. Luke chapter 21, verse 10. Then said he unto them, nations shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdoms. Verse 11. And great earthquakes shall be in divers places, and famine and pestilence, and fearful sight. And great signs shall there be from heaven. Verse 12. But before all these, they shall lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the temple and unto the prison, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. 13, and it shall turn to you for a testimony. 14, settle it therefore in your mind not to meditate before what you shall answer. 15, for I will give you a mouth and wisdom with which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist. 16. And you shall be betrayed both by parents and brothers and kinfolks and friends. And some of you shall they cause to be put to death. Verse 17. And you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. 18. But there shall not an hair of your head perish. 19. In the patient progress you your soul. Verse 20. And when you shall see Judah compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. Verse 21. Then let them which are in Judah flee to the mountain, and let them which are in the midst of it depart out. And let not them that are in the country enter there into.
Mm-hmm. So that was real big with that, Mother. Read verse 18 again, Mother. What did verse 18 say?
Luke 21:18. But there shall not an hair of your head perish.
No. Well, how you make that statement right there unless you got something to work with, Mo? Well, what? He said, regardless, ain't nothing going to happen to you. That's what he say? Hey, Mo, you preach up on that. Give me 2 Kings chapter 6. verse 15 down to verse 17. What do you mean by ain't nothing going to happen to you? He said, ain't nothing going to happen to you. Not a hair on your head going to be harmed. Where he pulling this problem? Let me find out where he's pulling this thing from when you got your Yahweh right. Go to a book called 2 Kings, chapter 6, verse 15, 16, and 17. What is that about?
2 Kings, chapter 6, 15 through 17, verse 15. And when the servant of the man of Yahweh was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, at last, my master, how shall we do? Verse 16. And he answered, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. 17. And Elisha prayed and said, Yahweh, I pray you, open his eyes that he might see. And Yahweh opened the eyes of the young man, and he answered, and behold, the mountains was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha.
You see that? Three translations. Don't worry about this thing. He said they're gonna come threaten. They're gonna leave messages on the Aberdeen thing. You don't see her. I can see myself with your head up on my arm, and I'll run your head into the tree. See? That ain't gonna talk. You know, but this. Yeah, well, okay, you got him right, I got you right. So I'm rolling with the almighty phenomenal man, you see? So I got it. Do what the man gives us to do. So Elder in St. John chapter 16 there, Elder Yagda, let's see if we can get out of the 16th chapter with a precept, 1 down to verse 5 there, Elder. St. John chapter 16, 1 down to verse 5, Elder Yagda Israel, come on.
Book of St. John, chapter 16, verse number 1 through 5 reads. Book of St. John, chapter 16, verse number 1 through 5. St. John 16, verse number 1. These things have I spoken unto you, that you should not be offended. Verse number 2. They shall put you out of the temple. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that they do it, Yahweh's servant. Verse number 3. They see what they do unto you, because they have not known me. Because they have not known the Father, nor me. Verse number 4. But these things have I told you, and when the time shall come, you may remember that I told you of them. These things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. Verse number 5. Now I go my way to him that sent me. None of you asks me whether goes you.
So the Almighty, he reminded and brought to attention of the disciples, the followers, that they're going to do you some damage once I'm gone. You understand that? So there's going to be no cakewalk. So... And who gonna do you some damage? In St. John chapter 11, verse 47 down to verse 53, to tell us something. He said, "Listen." He said, "Now listen to me, followers of the Father, when the Father was on earth." He said, "Listen. They gonna do you some damage. They gonna do you some damage." And now who gonna be scheming up on you to do you some damage? People read it in St. John chapter 11, verse 47 down 53. Hey, yo, who gonna do us some damage that we can read in St. John 11, 47 down 53?
The book of St. John, chapter 11, verse 47 through 53 reads. Book of St. John 11, verse 47. Then gathered the chief priests and the Pharisees of council and said, what do we? For this man doeth many miracles. Verse 48. If we let him thus alone, all men will believe on him, and the Romans shall come and take away both our place and nation. Verse 49. One of them, named Caiaphas, being the high priest, the same year said unto them, you know nothing at all. Verse 50. Now consider that it is expedient for us that one man should die for the people, that the whole nation perish not. Verse 51. This spake he not of himself, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Yahweh the Son should die for that nation. Verse 52. Not for that nation only, but that also he should gather together in one the children of Yahweh that were scattered abroad. Verse number 53. Then from that day forth, they took counsel together for to put him to death.
Ain't that something? They took counsel to put him to death. They got counsel going on you right now. They come up with all kinds of schemes on you right now. They might even say you might be somewhere else. Buying, selling houses, changing identity, stealing cars. They might tell you anything. Anything try to get you off track. So all you, but you got to understand something. It's already prophesied. They're going to do what they got to do. Anytime you try to wake these peoples up or scout to the tribes of Israel, it's going to be a backlash. So they don't be no cakewalk. Nope. You might hear any kind of rumor on you. They might say you might be riding a boat somewhere. You know, anything. You know, stealing people's identity. The biggest identity thief is the one over there in Israel today. They want to steal your identity, and they got your identity. You think you African American Negro and Puerto Rican and Mexican? That one is the biggest identity theft is over there. But you don't know that. So become humble to help you out. Open your eyes to understand one thing. It's time to believe the Bible. Just put whatever you own, put it aside. And just believe what the Bible says. Listen to the sixth anointing camp bring you the Bible, uncut, spirit-led by Yahuwah. Remember, so they're going to put you in jail, right? They said that, didn't they? That's easy in the prophecy about that, Elder. Remember in chapter 2, verse 4 and 5, 10 and 11. Let's see, remember, the angel came to John while he was on the Isle of Patmos. He was in prison. John was put in prison. But the angel came there because he said, John, beloved, you were put in prison for a reason. Because we don't want you to be disturbed and receive this message. And all I'm going to bring it out is Yahweh's voice number 2 Israelites. Let's see what he says at Revelation 2, verse 4, 5, 10, and 11. Hey, what does it say we can read? Revelation 2, 4, 5, 10, and 11.
The book of Revelation, chapter 2, verse number 4, verse number 5, verse number 10, and verse number 11 reads. Book of Revelation, chapter 2, Revelation, chapter 2, verse number 4. Verse number 5 reads, Book of Revelation 2, verse number 4. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against you, because you have left your first love. Verse number 5. Remember that fault from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove your candlestick out of this place. Except you repent. Verse number 10 reads, Fear none of those things which shall suffer. Fear none of those things which you shall suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, and you may be tried, and you shall have tribulation 10 days. Be you faithful unto the death, and I will give you a crown of life. Verse 11. If you have an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit said unto the 12 tribes of Israel. Polluted word church, the overcoming shall not be heard of the second death.
Ain't that so. Read verse 10 again, Ariel. Verse 10 again.
Book of Revelation 2, verse number 10 reads, for none of those things thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that you may be tried. You shall have tribulation 10 days. Be you faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life.
When the angel was talking to John then, they understood who was Job and who was Roy. But we don't understand that this Bible, before you read the 12th chapter, see, what we don't understand, hey, Mother Dear of Israel, give me Acts 13, 13, 34, and 35. See, understand something. When the angel was speaking to John, he was telling John that the devil going to cast some of you in prison. Well, how did John get into prison? So he was clear what he was talking about then. The devil going to cast some of you in prison. But now you don't have a clue what that means. See, John understood it plainly because John was on the Isle of Patmos. He was in prison, and he was cast into prison. And he knew wasn't nobody with no tight red suit on with pointed ears and a pitchfork did that to him. He knew that then. But today, we don't know. We don't know. See? But you're going to find out. So, Mother, when we read Acts 13, 13, Mother, be up Israel, then skip down to verse 44 and 40, 34 and 35, what do we get out of Acts 13, 13, 40, then 34 and 35? Acts 13, 13, and skip down to 34 and 35. What the goddamn Mother did up Israel?
Acts chapter 13, verse 13 and 34 and 35.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Acts chapter 13, verse 13. Now when Paul and his company loosed from Patmos, they came to Perga in...
Hold on. I made a little slight error. Bagger, make that map here. Make that map here.
Matthew 13, 34 and 35. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. Verse 34. All these things spake Yahuwah the Son unto the multitude in parables, and without a parable spake he not unto them. 35. That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the seer, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world.
Mm-hmm.
So he said, they're saying we say it's a parable because it has been kept secret from the foundation of the world. And let's finish up that, Mother. What's been kept secret from the foundation of the world, Mother? What? Let's go see and find out what's been kept secret from the foundation of the world. Now, what have been kept secret from the foundation of the world when you precept that with another angel bringing the message to David in 78? We're going to 78 and find out what have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. What can we read that have been kept secret from you? They have to be revealed to you. In Psalm 78, 1, 2, and 3. 1, 2, and 3, and verse 10. Hey, Mother of Israel, what does Psalm 78, 1, 2, 3, and 10 say?
Psalm 78. Okay. Psalm 78.
I'll tell you what. Read verse 1, 2, 5, and 10. 1, 2, 5, and 10. Let's find out, Mother. Hey, Mother, D of Israel. We're going to find out what's been kept from the people's calling 12 tribes of Israel even to this day. Psalm 78, 1, 2, 5, and 10. Let's talk about it, Mother. Come on.
Psalm 78, verses 1 and 2, 5 and 10. Verse 1, give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the word of my mouth. Verse 2, I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old. Verse 5, for he established a testimony in Israel and in Judah and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children. Verse 10, they kept not the covenant of Yahweh and refused to walk in his law.
He said, he gave them a law, that's the commandment, and told you can live in. What did they do? They refused to keep the covenant of his law. That's in command. Even to this day. We confuse it. We refuse to do it today.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why the angel came and said, hey, he said, John was writing the entire prophecy to be read of Revelation 2, verse 10. Hey, I'll read that one more time before we read that about the death. We're going to Revelation 2, verse 11 again. See, this is end time prophecy. See, remember, you got to see the picture. John was in prison. He was cast in prison by Hadrian, the emperor. He had cast him in prison. The angel said, the devil going to throw some of you in prison. So John knew how he got there in prison. He knew nobody had no red suit on, no pointed ears, and no pitchfork to put him in prison. He was clear about what he was saying. But today, we ain't got a clue what that means today. But so when John wrote 2 verse 10, what is that in Revelation 2 verse 10, Elder?
Book of Revelation 2, verse number 10 reads, for none of those things which you shall suffer, behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that you may be tried. You shall have tribulation 10 days. Be you faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life.
Mm-hmm. And what he said in 3:11 behind that, Elder? Same book, Revelation 3:11. What he said in 3:11 behind that?
Book of Revelation 3, verse number 11. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which you have, that no man take your crown.
See what he's saying? He says, you better hold on. Don't let nobody take your crown. Your crown is eternal life. He said, don't let nobody persuade you for 30 pieces of silver and you give up your crown of life. Don't let nobody take your crown of life from you for 30 pieces of silver. Huh? Let's find out a little bit more about this devil. Is the devil going to cast some of you in prison? Now we're going to go back to Acts chapter 5, and we're going to lick him up real good. See, that's how you got to do it. Those who like to use that word, you got to let the Bible use the word and just comment on the word from the Bible, and you ain't got to explain anything. Just let the Bible do the talking. The Bible explains you who the devil is. All you got to do is read some scriptures. You know, get out your feelings and read some books. We're going to find out the devil going to cast some of you in prison. We're going to find out what's going on in 12th chapter. And we're going to read a little bit about the devil going to cast some of you in prison. Pick up verse number 1 and read down to get our point here. It'll come out. Acts 12:1.
Revelation.
Well, Acts. Acts chapter 5. 12. We're going to find out, if we precept the Bible, we're going to find out what that means by the devil going to cast some of you in prison. We're going to see if we find out by just precepting the Bible and how to properly use the word the devil. Because John understood who the devil was when they cast him in prison then. But we don't know the day, you know, but we're going to precept the Bible in Acts 12:1, and we're going to read down until we get our point. Come on.
The book of Acts, chapter 12, verse number 1. Book of Acts 12, verse 1 reads, now about the time Herod the king stretched forth his hand to vex certain of the congregation of Israel, polluting their church. Verse number 2. And he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. Verse number 3. Because he saw it pleased Yahweh Judah, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. Verse number 4. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to folk to need of some.
Wait a minute. Who did what in verse 4?
The book of Acts 12, verse 4. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison.
Hey, that's something. You see what the Bible just said? Didn't the angel say that some of you are going to be put in prison? Then John knew that how he got to prison. We just read him in verse number 1 and 4. Tells us exactly the devil going to cast some of you in prison. Read verse 1 again, 12:1.
The book of Acts 12, verse number 1. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hand to vex certain of the congregation of Israel.
And what did he do in verse 4?
And when he had apprehended him, he put him into prison.
Ain't that something? You mean that Bible tells that? Yeah. The Bible tells you exactly what you need to know. You ain't got to be confused about anything now. You got a life-out ministry trying to open your eyes and restore what we took not away from you by understanding that these things. So now when you, since he was talking with John, we might have preached up a little bit more about these things. Then you got to look at the situation going on today, and then you tie it all in, your situation today, that was prophesied by the angel telling John, and John writing it. So now when we go and read Revelation chapter 6, while we already know it, the angel is working with John. And this is what he says in Revelation, End Time Prophecy, 6, verse 8. We'll read, we'll get our point. Now listen to this real carefully. See, remember, on this broadcast, we come to hey, Mother D of Israel, give me a precept, Mother. We come to 24:32 you in Luke. We come to 24:32 you in Luke. Then we come to do. You know, I'm going to broadcast 6 nights a week to 24:32 you in Luke. That's what we come on this broadcast to do. Luke chapter 24, verse 32, what is that, Mother?
Luke chapter 24, verse 32. And they said one to another, did not our minds burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures?
What are we coming to do, Mother? Open up these scriptures. We come to open up these. Read verse 45.
Okay. Luke 24:45.
Yes, what did it say?
Luke 24:45. Then open he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures.
You see what we're coming to do? See, we ain't coming to tell you where we going, where we been. We're coming to open up you these scriptures. That's what we come to do. We come to make your mind burn. So you take a look at what you've been taught all your life. You've been told plainly in 65, verse 15, you've been told plainly that in Isaiah 65:15, you've been told plainly by the seal in 700 B.C. Hey, yo, what have you been told plainly in the book of Isaiah 5, verse 15? 700 B.C., you were told plainly what?
The book of Isaiah, chapter 65, verse number 15 reads. Book of Isaiah 65, verse 15 reads. You shall leave your name for a curse unto my children. For Yahweh shall slay thee and call his servant by another name.
He said, you're going to leave your name and you're going to answer to a curse name. You're going to leave your name. Your biblical name, you're not going to have it no more in remembrance, no more than you have a clue who you are. You're going to leave your name. And you're going to pick up a curse name. He said, you. Yeah, you. 12 tribes of Israel. You're going to be up on a curse name. He said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to slay you until you come up out of money. What do you mean, wait, what we can read that at WCC? What we can read that at? Mother, read that in the book of Hosea 5:15. He said, I'm going to slay you until you understand that you have left your name for a cursed name. Hey, Mother of Israel, what is said in Hosea 5:15 that he will slay you and you will leave your name for a cursed name? What can we read there, Mother of Israel? What can we read in Hosea 5:15?
Hosea chapter 5. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, raise your voice up, Mother. Put a little more spirit. Put a little more spirit in your voice there, Mother, because the national audience is 900,000 strong. They want to hear it real plain. But put a little more spirit in it. And post an ad in that word. 5:15, what it say?
Okay. Hosea chapter 5. Hosea chapter 5, verse 15.
Yeah, what it say? What it say in 5:15?
Hosea chapter 5, verse 15. I will go and return to my place till they acknowledge their offense and seek my face in their affliction. They will seek me early.
He said, I'm going to go back and watch it. He said, when you get tired of getting your back beat, tired of being a last hide, the first hide, and getting kicked all in the ring. He said, sooner or later, you gonna be looking for Yahweh's voice of the true Israelite. When you get tired, sooner or later, you get tired. He said, I'm just going to watch you until you acknowledge that you have sinned against me. I told you to leave your name for a curse. That's what I said. What name do you identify with right now? Hey, Elder, what name would they identify with right now? And this is where it started at Prophesied of Heaven 11:26 of Acts. He said, you are going to leave your name for a curse name. He said, I'm going to slay you until you understand that I gave you a biblical name into your name. Until you put that biblical name on the end of your name, I'm going to slay you in business deals. You're always going to be a last hide, the first one tied. You'll be the one to get the leftover meat that you're going to be eating anyway. I mean, the meat they give you that cause you all kind of problems in your body. You're not going to have no answers until you come back clean according to this book. Do you need your name for a curse name? I mean, we'll find out what name you identify with more than your name or a number of your birth certificate, Exodus chapter 1 through 7. All your names are there. Your birth certificate name is right there. Then he came in Numbers 6, 22 to 27 and told you, this name is a blessed name to you. Then he also told you the 44th chapter of Isaiah 1 through 5, if you put this name at the end of your name, third name yourself, this name, I'm going to hear you when you call on me. But you're going to pay that no matter what mind. But this is what you're going to do, and you're going to identify with this name right here, more than your biblical name of the Bible in the book of Acts 11, verse 26. Hey, what a fan of hell!
Book of Acts, chapter 11, verse number 26 reads. Book of Acts, chapter 11, verse number 26 reads. Acts 11, verse 26. When he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year, as some of them fell with the congregation, taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch.
So wait a minute. Well, wait a minute, Elm. They have another word that they put on them too there. They got two words there you put on them. They put two words. They ask you, you know, the preacher tell you all day long when you come to the service, do you have a such as home? They're right there. They're really right now. So come back and knock out the park, you know. Another word you're going to be called, and you're going to respond to it every wrong day of the week. He said, you're going to respond to this word every wrong day of the week. You're going to respond to this word more. You're going to respond to this word more than any name. Right?
And what you go through brings what's already in you out.
Okay. So what, for your first job, working as an intern with Will Smith, you say to them, look, I have to have the Sabbath off, which may I just confess that I learned in my first meeting with Devon, all these years I thought the Sabbath was Sunday.
Yeah.
I've been going to church. We say worship on the Sabbath, worship on the Sabbath in the Baptist church. And you corrected me. You said, no, Sunday is the first day of the week. Yeah. Sabbath is Friday sundown to Saturday sundown.
That's right. That's right.
I stand corrected.
Amen.
So you go to your first job with Will Smith and say, look, I'm really excited to be here, but I have to have Friday.
Friday night sundown, Saturday night sundown off.
You see how she used that word so loosely? She's been going to the Baptist church, you know, all that good stuff. But guess what? It was prophesied right here that you're going to leave your name for a curse and get the name you're going to pick up on and have no problem using it. That was what it gets. Hey, Elder, redeem yourself and knock out the pod and come off.
Book of Acts, chapter 11, verse number 26, let's read. When he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church, and how much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch.
Ain't that now? You get it. So these two words were prophesied that you will respond to more than your biblical name. The church. And you'll be called Christians. Are you a Christian? Are you a Christian? Are you a Christian? This was given to you by other people. Do you know when he got written in the heavenly tablets about when you receive a name from other people at number 15, 15, 16, and 29? L. That's not it. Let me tell you something. When you receive that name in Antioch over there in Europe, being called the Christian Church, so even your biblical name, do you know what he told Moses to put in writing behind it in number 15, 15, 16, and 29? See what he said to Moses out of the heavenly tablet called the Book of Numbers, chapter 15, verse 15, 16, and 29. What does that help?
Book of Numbers, chapter 15, verse number 15, verse 16, and verse 29 reads, Numbers 15, verse 15, for an ordinance shall be both you of the congregation, and also for the stranger that sojourneth with you, an ordinance forever in your generations. As you are, so shall the stranger be before Yahweh. Verse 16, one law and one manner shall be for you, and for the stranger that sojourneth with you. Verse 29, you shall have one law for him that sinneth through ignorance, but for him that is born among the children of Israel, and for the stranger that sojourney among you.
He said, now, if you ignorant, but look what he said, it's one law when you ignorant. See, ignorant means you don't know. I mean, I didn't know that. I thought that the Baptist church and the Christian church and the Roman church was what I'm supposed to be at. But you was ignorant of them. You didn't know. Okay, you didn't know. That's why we come. Hey, Mother dear of Israel, give me a book. Let me know when you got it. Rock 51:23. So you didn't know. Elder, what do you think about it when you don't know in St. John? Chapter 9, verse 25 and 41, you know. Okay, you didn't know. Okay, I give you that. You didn't know. You were about 50, 60, 70, 80 years, and you didn't know. Okay. Let's see what it says in 9, 25 and 41 of St. John. Let's see what he says. Let's see what he says out his own mouth to those that don't know. Let's see. St. John, chapter 9, verse 25 and 41. What's the hell?
Book of St. John, chapter 9, verse number 25 and verse 41 reads, St. John, chapter 9, verse 25 reads, yes, I said, and it be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. Verse 41, therefore the Son said unto them, if you were blind, you should have no sin. But now you say, we see, and for your sin remaineth.
Ain't that something? But, you said that you know. Now I know that the Sabbath day is Sunday on Friday, Sunday on Saturday. But you're still doing first day of the week. Guess what? That's when your clock starts ticking. The clock starts ticking when you say you know. I know. I know I'm doing the wrong day. But my parents go to the wrong day. You know, matter of fact, my parents, they behind the roster running them out. So I go there because of respect of my parents. Yeah, but you say you know that it's wrong. See, when you know something wrong, that's when he says your sins remain. And, hey, yo, Precept Testify 5:14 of St. John. See, when you say you know, see, it's very dangerous coming to this broadcast and then when Yahweh unlight your understanding and then all of a sudden you say, I know that I've been doing the wrong day, you know, the wrong name. I know. But then you don't make no adjustments. Look what Yahweh says when he caught the young man at the Great Big Chipper site. Yahweh found him and looked him eyeball to eyeball and said something to him in 5:14, Elder, Yahweh Israel. What he said to the young man in 5:14 of St. John, Elder?
Book of St. John, chapter 5, number 14 reads, St. John 5, verse 14. At the word, Yahweh the Son found him in the temple and said unto him, Behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more. Neither the worst thing come unto thee.
You see what the man said? He let the guy know that the days he coming to the temple site is Friday night, Saturday night. So he found the young man in there. He said, young man, you have made to the temple site. He said, sin no more. Huh? What do you mean by sin no more, yo? 1 John 3:3-4, 8-10. He said, now, you are made to the temple site, young man, but sin no more. Do the worst thing going to come up on you. You see that? What do you mean by sin no more? When you know Saturday, Friday night, Saturday night. You know it. You know the feast days and the bigger 23. Got nothing to do with no Easter or New Year's. You know it. You know it, man. Can't don't eat no hog. Don't even touch no hog. But you eat it anyway. You want to know why you got to see Doc Cook. You said you know. That's when your problem starts, when you know. See, that's when your problem starts, when you know. You're doing contrary to the biblical Bible. You know he got one name. And all of a sudden, you know. Then you also know that some things that we're going to talk about shortly after Elder bring this out. What'd you bring it out, Elder?
The book of 1 John chapter 3, verse number 3 and 4, verse number 8 through 10 reads. Look at 1 John chapter 3, verse number 3 reads, And every man that hath this hope in him, purify himself, even as he is pure. Verse number 4, Whosoever committeth sin, transgresseth also the law. For sin is the transgression of the law. Verse number 8, He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of Yahweh was manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Verse number 9, Whosoever is born of Yahweh does not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of Yahweh.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 10,
so,
in this,
the, great.
Verse number 10, In this the children of Yahweh are manifest, and the children of the devil. So doing not righteousness is not of Yahweh.
Glory again. I get too happy. I get too happy right here. Yeah, look at with your WTC. Yeah, I'm starting to cut you off behind that too. Well, see, why did Yahweh get those seer happy? Read that verse 10 again. I'm going to try my best to. Maybe I can. Put the river team, I thought, why you read verse 10 again? Read verse 10 again, Al.
The book of 1 John chapter 3, verse number 10 reads, In this, the family of Yahweh are manifest, and the family of the devil, whosoever doeth not righteousness, is not of Yahweh. Neither he that loveth not is brother.
My. So you see the Bible, that's why, look, we watch you, especially you six anointed camp. We watch you from the pages of this book. We don't watch you because we watch the Bible. We have been blessed to watch you from the Bible. And we also watch the world to be from the Bible. We don't watch them on our stage. But we watch you from the Bible. So when you precept that to St. John chapter 14, Elder, and think of verse 15 and 16. Listen what, when you precept the Bible, see the game changes. It's not who bought the garment, who threw out the scriptures. It's when you open up these scriptures to those that got here to hear. So somebody want to hear this thing. So when you open these scriptures up and you say, man, I've been keeping Sunday. I've been eating hog. But my preacher told me as long as he pray over you can eat it. So you found out that's not correct. What do you think about a preacher will tell you can pray over you and eat all? Hey, Mother of Israel. Holy Pop, what you got, Mother? Hold what you got. But in Job 14, verse 14, Mother, what did teacher cowboy say behind you can pray over it and now it's clean, you can eat it? Then precept that to 34, verse 4 of Sirach, Mother. See, the Bible will tell you, sir, what you've been contributing to. When your preacher tell you you can pray over the pig meat, and then the pig meat has been made clean, then you don't need to read the Bible then, because Issachar boy, Job 14, verse 14, says something, Mother. And what did he say in 14:14, Mother, in the book of Job?
Job chapter 14, verse 4, can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Not one.
Read that again, Mother. Read it again.
Job chapter 14, verse 4. Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Not one.
Mr. Preacher, you can't pray over no hog. You can't pray over catfish. You can't pray over shrimp. Pray over lobster. You can't pray over Chinese food and make it clean for you. It's clean to them because he didn't give the other nation no dietary. He let you be the role model to get them to understand that there was an order. He only give them one piece. One piece. What do you mean you got a precept that? And Mother, precept that to Amos 3, 1 and 2. Precept that, Mother. Amos 3, 1 and 2.
Okay.
Amos 3, 1 and 2. Let's see if we precept that. See, this one of the greatest mystery in this Bible, when you read this Bible, he gave the dietary law and law, says, and commandments to one people. Now he told the seer, he asked Amos, he said, Amos, are you the seer of the hour right now? He said, yeah. Well, then you put down what I tell you to put down. Amos 3, 1, 2 says what?
Amos chapter 3, verses 1 and 2.
Mm-hmm.
Amos chapter 3. Amos chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Hear this word that Yahweh has spoken against you, O children of Israel, against the whole family which I brought up from the land of Egypt, saying, verse 2, you only have I known of all the families of the earth. Therefore, I will punish you for all your sins. Iniquity.
Mm-hmm. Matthew 15:24, Mother. And then when he came in the body, in Matthew 15:24, Mother, what did he say, Mother? In Matthew 15:24, what did he say out of his own mouth, Mother? And Matthew 15:24.
Matthew chapter 15, verses 24. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the family of Israel.
So he gonna believe me or hell? Suppose you don't believe me. Titus 1 verse 2, hell. Okay, I can't go with that. I can't believe that. I can't believe he created all these people on and then he say he only sent to one people. I can't believe it. Okay, well Paul had to talk to Titus about that same thing in 1 verse 2. Hey, yo, what do you say in Hebrews 6:18 back to back? So, I can't believe it. I can't go with that. That is too much for me. Okay, good. But look what Paul told Titus after Paul was raised from the womb in Galatians 1:15-16. He was raised from the womb, and he picked Titus and Timothy to take his place as he go back to where he came from. And look what he told Titus to put down in his book in 1 verse 2. Hey, what is that else?
The book of Titus, chapter 1, verse number 2 reads, in hope of eternal life, which Yahweh, the cannot lie, promise before the world began.
He said, you got your whole eternal life on the line by not believing it. He said, he ain't lying about what he's saying. You just been told one thing, but he said, I'm not lying what I said. If you want to get eternal life, he ain't lying about it. Then Paul went to the great big temple and looked at everybody in the temple and said something in 6:18. What did he say? What did he say in 6:18?
The book of Hebrews 6, some 18 reads, and by two immutable things, in which it is impossible for Yahweh to lie, you might have a strong consolation that fled for refuge, to lay hold upon the hope set before us.
Mm-hmm. He said he ain't lying, so he ain't lying, and he told the seal a mother dear of Israel in that 34:4 of the rock. He told the seal. You know, prior to, he told Job, then he told the seer, and the seer pulled it from the book of Job. Torah 34:4. What did it say, mother?
Okay. Torah. Let me. Torah 34 verse 4.
Verse 4.
Okay.
34:4.
Of an unclean thing, what can be cleaned? And from that thing which is false, that truth can come.
Read that again, mother. 34:4. Read it again. You read it right, but just read it a little more spirit too.
Shabbat 34:4. Of an unclean thing, what can be clean? And from that thing which is false, what truth can come?
Mm-hmm. All right. So what did he say to my unclean thing? How could you make it true? I mean, you can't pray over hog. You can't pray over catfish. You can't pray over lobsters. You can't pray over shrimp. You can't pray over rattlesnake and it come clean. Not for you, children of Israel. You can't do it. Now, where is pulling all these verses from? Hey, I'm just going to have a verse 1, 2, then pick up verse 4 and 1. Where are these coming from? Who is he telling this truth? Is he telling it to the world? See, is he telling it to the forgiveness I have out throughout 51:23, had it be patting that verse out real good throughout 51:21, 51:22, and 51:23. Had that waiting on me, mother. Throughout 51:21, 51:22, and 51:23. Had that waiting on me. You can come back at it sooner or later. But listen, what you trying to read, Elder?
I didn't catch it.
Leviticus chapter 11, verse 1, 2, then skip down to verse 41, down to the close of that statement, about 47. Leviticus chapter 11, verse 1 and 2, 41 to 47. Philly, you can't make nothing clean if it's unclean. But he's not speaking to the world, is he? We'll find out. Because the Muslims say it was in the Quran not to eat no pig. But you know, Mr. Quran man, Mr. Hamas man, boy, that was not taught to you. That's not taught to you. You are taking scripture from somebody else. We can get ready to bust you in the middle of the street right now. The big 11, 1, 2. Then skip down to 41, down to 47. What's the hell?
Book of Leviticus, chapter 11. Verse number 1 and 2. Verse number 41. Book of Leviticus 11, verse number 1. Yahweh spake unto Moses and to Aaron, saying unto them, verse 2, speak unto the nation, family of Israel, and say it, these are the beasts that you shall eat among all the beasts that are on the earth. Verse number 41, Leviticus 11, verse 41, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth shall be an abomination, should not be eaten. Verse 42, whatsoever goeth upon the belly, whatsoever goeth upon all four, or whatsoever have more feet among all creeping things that creep upon the earth, them shall you not eat, for they are an abomination. Verse 43, should not make yourself abominable with any creeping thing that creepeth, neither shall you make yourself unclean with them, but you should be defiled thereby. Verse 44, one Yahweh, your Yahweh. You shall therefore sanctify yourself. You shall be righteous, for I am righteous. Neither shall you defile yourself with any manner of creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Verse 45, for I am Yahweh that bringeth you up out of the land of Egypt, bondage, to be your Yahweh. You shall therefore be righteous, for I am righteous. Verse 46, this is the law of the beast, of the fowl, of every living creature that moveth in the water, and of every creature that creepeth upon the earth. Verse 47, to make a difference between the unclean and the clean, and between the beast that may be eaten and the beast that may not be eaten.
He said, you ought to make a difference between what you put in your mouth and what you don't. He said, you got to make a difference. He talked to 1% of the people, 12 tribes of Israel. You just can't put everything in your mouth. You can't put some of your mouth got all them legs on it. You got that octopus got all them legs on it and all them hands and fingers and stuff like that. You can't be eating that stuff. That's why you didn't duck cook. You over there eating. Deputy, they call it. Well, you can't eat it, children of Israel. They can eat it. The other nations can eat all that stuff. And they ain't got to go see Doc Cook. But you can't eat it. Huh? You know why you can't eat it? Let's read why you can't eat it, Elvis. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 1, 2, 27 down to 29. Let me show you why you can't eat. See, you can't eat what you see on that one-eyed face. Oh, that looks good on that one-eyed face, but that's not for you to eat. Let's see what he's saying in Deuteronomy chapter 5, 1, 2, 27 to 29. Let's see what he's saying, Ill. Come on.
Look at Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse number 1 and 2. 27 through 29 reads. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse number 1. Moses called all Israel and said unto them, Hear, O Israel, the statutes and judgments which I speak in your ears this day, that you may learn them, keep and do them. Verse number 2. Yahweh made a covenant with us in Horeb. Verse 27. Look at Deuteronomy 5, verse 27. Go down near and hear all that Yahweh shall say. And speak down unto us all that Yahweh shall speak unto thee, and we will hear it and do it. Verse 28. Yahweh heard the voice of your words, and you spake unto me. Yahweh said unto me, I have heard the voice of the word of this people, which they have spoken unto you. They have well said all that they have spoken. Verse 29. Oh, that there were such a mind in them that they would fear me, keep my commandments always, and it may be well with them and with their children forever.
Thank you. You hear the man saying, he said, I hear your word. He said, I hear your word. He said, I hear your word. Give me a precept on that. 33, verse 33 of Ezekiel. He said, I hear your word. I hear your word. Okay, let's get a precept on that, Elton. Go to that. Ezekiel 33, verse 33. Let me get a precept on that, Elder. Let's see what it, he said, yeah, see, that sounds pretty good, but you might as well go in on and slap a precept side the neck on that. What it say? 33.
Book of Ezekiel 33, verse 33 reads, when this cometh to pass, it will come. Then shall they know that a seer have been among them.
Mm-hmm. Now, give up the verse 32 now.
Verse number 32, Ezekiel 33, verse 32. Lo, thou art unto them as a very lovely song, of one that hath a pleasant voice. It can play well on an instrument, for they hear your words, but they do them not.
You see what I'm saying? So in Jeremiah 13, 8 through 10, what did he tell a seer about a people that will hear the word that comes from the mouth of the seer but do it not? What do Yahweh tell Jeremiah pertaining to this people? In the 13th chapter, verse 8, 9, and 10. Hey, yo, what did he say in Jeremiah 13, verse 8 through 10? What did he say?
Look at Jeremiah chapter 13, verse number 8 through 10 reads. Look at Jeremiah 13. Look at Jeremiah 13, verse number 8 through 10 reads. Jeremiah chapter 13, verse number 8 reads. Then the word of Yahweh came unto me saying, verse number 9. Thus saith Yahweh, after this manner, will I mar the pride of Yahweh Judah, and the great pride of the southern kingdom. Verse 10. This evil people, which refuse to hear my words, which walk in the imagination of their mind, walk after other false Yahweh to serve them, to worship them, to even be as this girth, which is good for nothing.
It's an evil people. Refuse to hear my word. It's just like this girl that he put over there and he prayed it and healed and came back to it. He said, this girl over here is messed up. Almighty One. He said, yeah, the children of Israel is just like that. Like that girl that you got in your hand. Good for nothing. He always uses dramatic with the most here. Jones was dramatic. He went and told him, go take this dirt and chop it off at Euphrates and put it in a hole. In so many days, go back and get it. We went and got the girdle and dug out the hole. He said, Yahweh, this girdle is no good no more. He said, just out of Judah, Benjamin, and Levi, the Simeon here. They ain't good for nothing. So they won't keep the law, statutes, and the commandments. See, if you're not keeping the law, statutes, and the commandments, Judah, Benjamin, and Levi, the Simeon, you're good for nothing. Then when you precept that to Acts chapter, make it Matthew 5, you know, verse 13 on to verse 16, he compared you to something. In Matthew 5, 13 to 16, he compared you to something. He, you know, he compared you to something. That's what he says in the book of Matthew chapter 5, verse 13 to 16. Wait, what did he say else?
Look at Matthew chapter 5, verse number 13 to 16 reads. Look at Matthew chapter 5, verse number 13 reads. Book of Matthew 5, verse number 13. Matthew 5, verse 13 reads. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is therefore good for nothing, but to be cast out, and to be trodden on the foot of men. Verse 14, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Verse 15, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it give a light unto all that are in the house. Verse 16, that your light shall shine before men, that they may see your good works, and honor your Father, which is in heaven.
And it's up to you. He said, you never do this thing the way I tell you to do it. Again, he said, you flip for nothing. You might have your $10 in your pocket. But you ain't doing the way I tell you to do it. And your eyes, you good for nothing. Good. That's what he said. So you're going to believe. You don't believe the Bible. If you're not keeping the law, statutes, and commandments, he said, you good for nothing. That's what he said. He said, just like this kid. You see, little kid going to school, he kick his chain all the way to school. He said, you might as well get your back, keep getting your back beat. He said, you might as well continue to keep getting your back beat. Huh? Because you're good for nothing if you're not keeping the law, statutes, and commandments. He said, you might as well keep on letting those nations beat your back. So early in the Ezekiel 3, 1 down to verse 12, and 17 down to verse 21, yo. What is there we can read in Ezekiel chapter 3, 1 down to verse 12, and 17 down to verse 21? And mother, hey mother, D of Israel, help me 1 John 2, 1 through 7, waiting on me. 1 John chapter 2, 1 through 7, have that waiting on me. Now, in Ezekiel 3, 1 through 12, and 17 to 21, then just slide down to 33, 1 through 11. You can get out of this. And mother, make sure you have me 1 John 2, 1 through 7, waiting on. Ezekiel 3, 1 through 12, 17 to 21, then just slide down to 33, 1 through 11. Elder Yahzai Israel, take the time and deliver the knockout blow. Come on.
Book of Ezekiel, chapter 3. Verse number 1 through 12, verse 17 through 21 reads, Book of Ezekiel, chapter 3, verse number 1 reads, Ezekiel 3, verse number 1, always said unto me, son of man, eat that thou findest, eat this roll, go speak unto the nation of Israel. Verse number 2, so I opened my mouth, and he caused me to eat that road. Verse 3. And he said unto me, son of man, cause thy belly to eat, and fill thy bowels with this road that I give thee. Then did I eat it, and it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness. Verse number 4. And he said unto me, son of man, go get thee unto the nation of Israel, to speak with my words unto them. Verse 5. You are not sent to a people of a strange speech, of a hard language, but to the nation, family of Israel. Verse number 6. Not to many people of a strange speech, and of a hard language, whose words you cannot understand. Surely, had I sent you to them, they would have hearkened unto thee. Verse 7. But the nation, family of Israel, would not hearken unto thee. For they would not hearken unto me. For all the family of Israel are impotent and hard-headed. Verse number 8. Behold, I have made thy face strong against their faces, and thy forehead strong against their forehead. Verse 9. As an adamant harder than a flint have I made thy forehead. Fear them not, neither be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious family. Verse number 10. Moreover said unto me, Son of man, all my words that I shall speak unto you, receive in your mind and hear with your ears. Verse number 11. Go, get you to them of the captivity, unto the nation of your people, and speak unto them, and tell them thus saith Yahweh, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear. Verse number 12. Then the Spirit took me up, and I heard behind me a voice of a great rushing saying, blessed be the greatness of Yahweh from his place. Verse 17. Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the family of Israel, that will hear the word at my mouth, and give them warning from me. Verse 18. When I say unto the wicked, you shall surely die, you giveth him not warning, nor speaketh to warn the wicked from his wicked ways, to save his life. The same wicked man shall die in his sin, and his blood will I require at your hand. Verse 19, yet if you warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his sin, but you have delivered yourself. Verse number 20, again when a righteous man doth turn from his righteousness, and commit iniquity, sin, now lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die, because thou hast not given him warning. He shall die in his sin, and his righteousness, which ye have not done, and his righteousness which ye have done, cannot be remembered, but his blood will I require at thy hand. Verse 21. Nevertheless, if thou warn the righteous man, that the righteous sin not, and he doeth not sin, he shall surely live, because he is warned. Also, you have delivered yourself.
Mm-hmm. Before you read 33, 1 through 11, I checked that song to kind of burn up a little bit, put that Y on it, what did God do? But read verse 19 again, Naomi. I read verse 19. It's a very interesting point you made in verse 19. And give you a chance to make sure that battery's going right in that microphone real good. But in verse 19, that was a very interesting point you made in verse 19. What did you say again in verse 19, Elder?
The book of Ezekiel 3, verse number 19 reads, yet if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, but from his wicked way, he shall die in his sin, but you had delivered yourself.
So you see, the way we come on this broadcast is to warn the one and say, I didn't know these things. See, in this eyes you call the witness. But if you turn away from that wicked way that you've been taught all your life, and you are due to Acts 3:19, you repent. Then God can to get the kingdom on earth, not up and away. So our job, that we be hit on every side, is to tell you, listen, you'll get to the kingdom. You got a Matthew 19, 16, 17. You got to keep all statutes and commandments to get in life. And in St. John 20, 31, you got life is in the name of the four letters.
So we come to tell you these things. It ain't nothing. You ain't got nothing coming in Lord God, Jesus, and Jehovah, and Allah. You know, we come to tell you that these names promoted, and was all these names was given to you after the Bible was closed in 96 A.D. Wasn't no English even thought about until 449 A.D. It became official land in 1382. So we trying to warn you so we can deliver our souls. You know, John tell you, you got to come away from that bad understanding and believe the Bible. What kind of way? As it is. Well, you read 19, the man says, I'm going to kill you. Now, we can get a precept that in 33, 1 through 11. And you put a name on who he going to kill first. The third chapter, 1 through 11. Watch it. You're going to see who he going to kill first for not obeying what you hear. Ezekiel 33, 1 through 11. What's there?
Book of Ezekiel, chapter 33, verse number 1 through 11, read. Book of Ezekiel, chapter 33, verse number 1, read. Again, the word of Yahweh came unto me, saying, verse number 2, Son of man, say to the family of your people, and say unto them, I bring the sword upon a land. If the people of the land take a man of their coat and set him for their watchman. Verse number 3. If when he sees the sword coming upon the land, he blow not the trumpet and warn the people. Verse 4. Then whosoever hears the sound of the trumpet and take him not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. Verse number 5. He heard the sound of the trumpet and took not warning. His blood shall be upon him. But he that taketh warning shall deliver himself. Verse number 6. But if the watchman see the sword come and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his sin. But his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. Verse number 7. So thou, son of man, have set you a watchman unto the nation of Israel. Therefore you shall hear the word in my mouth and warn them from me. Verse number 8. When I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die. If thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his sin. But his blood will I require at your hand. Verse number 9. Nevertheless, if you warn the wicked of his way, to turn from it, if he do not turn from his way, he shall die in his sin. But you have delivered yourself. Verse number 10. And for O thou son of man, because of the nation, family of Israel, thus you speak, saying, if our transgressions and our sins be upon us, and we pine away in them, how shall we then live? Verse number 11. Say unto them, as I live, saith Yahweh, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn you from your evil ways, for why should you die, O nation, family of Israel?
I heard nothing about a question of Islam, Judaism, none of that. So you see, I don't know what Bible you're reading. You're getting all this Christian and the church and Osama Lincoln. And where you getting all this? I don't hear nothing about none of that stuff. How did you hear all this stuff? How did you get bewitched to believe that you was a Christian church? What happened? I ain't heard. All the time we hear that when we nicking about it. Give me the 18th chapter of the same book. Because, you know, if Satan is written in verse 25 to 31, I mean, I'm just going to, you know, how did y'all hear all this stuff in here? And you're not in groves trying to find Yahweh's voice over to his wife. Folks be in groves trying to find the real deal. And the book of Ezekiel 18:25-31, you know, what would it say?
The book of Ezekiel, chapter 18, 21 through 25.
We'll make it up 25 to 31. We might want to put a little more icing on this before we bring Mother in for 1 John 2:1-7. What is said out of, here's talking to the old seer. Let's go to old seer in the 18th chapter of Ezekiel 18, down to verse 31. What is said?
The book of Ezekiel, chapter 18, verse number 25 through 31 reads, Ezekiel 18, verse 25, yet you say, the way of Yahweh is not equal. Hear now, O family of Israel, is not my way equal, or not your ways unequal. Verse 26, when a righteous man turn away from his righteousness, and commit sin, and dive in them, for his sin that he have done, shall he die. Verse 27. Again, when the wicked man turn from his wickedness that he have committed, and doeth that which is lawful and right, he shall save himself alive. Verse 28. Because he considered and turneth away from all his sins, transgressions that he have committed, he shall surely live, he shall not die. Verse 29. It says the nation of Israel, where Yahweh is not equal. O nation of Israel, are not my ways equal, are not your ways unequal. Verse number 30, therefore I will judge you, O nation of Israel, everyone according to his ways, saith Yahweh. Repent and turn yourself from all your transgressions, sins, so sin shall not be your ruin. Verse 31. Cast away from you all your sins, transgressions, for that you have transgressed, and make you a new mind and a new spirit. For why shall you die, O nation, family of Israel?
32.
Verse number 32. For I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth, save Yahweh. But for turn yourself and live.
I mean, should I say anything behind that? You got the opportunity to turn. And you see what people of Israel do? The 12 tribes of Israel just got. Turn on 12 tribes of Israel. Just got. He said, why did you die? He said, I'm going to kill you. I'm sending the spirit to tell you I'm going to kill you. If you don't keep my laws, statutes, and commandments, I'm going to kill you. Why should you die? And the death he's talking about is the one in the fire. The one he's talking about that you can go in Isaiah 66:24 and take a look at hell. The one he's talking about he's going to put you in is the Isaiah 66:24. This is what I'm talking about. This is when I raise you back up. Then you can go over there out of the mouth of Isaiah and listen to what he says in Isaiah 66:24. Look at Isaiah.
The book of Isaiah 66:24 reads. Book of Isaiah 66:24. They shall go forth and look upon the carcasses of the men that have sinned against me. For their worm shall not die, neither shall their fire be quenched. They shall be an abhorrence unto all flesh.
You say you can be able to walk out the temple site and walk right over there and see the lake of fire going to be ready or two. And you will see all the worm that paid the word of Yahweh, no, never mind. And they will be in the fire. Not only that, they will be in the fire and worms going to be fighting on them. And they will be a horn to all flesh.
You would say, damn, my pastor is in there. Not used to be pastor. The one that want to keep sunning and keep eating hard and wear them gay suits. And you listen, that's my pastor. But I heard the word and I saw me some Yahweh boys over to his life. I got in laughing in it. But some of them is not going to hear it. They're not going to hear it. Matter of fact, you know, what they going to say, I'll go Yahweh down what and Jeremiah, you know, what did Yahweh do although he done what? Jeremiah 44, verse 4 and 16. See, a lot of us not going to hear this man. We understand that. But he showed Jeremiah put this in life. Although Yahweh done what in Jeremiah 44, 4 and 16. And what they respond is your response going to be the same way? Hey, yeah, you. Is your response going to be the same way after Yahweh done the 44 verse 4 and verse 16? What is hell?
Because Jeremiah 44, verse number 4 and verse number 16 reads, for the Jeremiah 44, verse 4, how be it, I send unto you all my servants, the seers, rising early and sending them, saying, oh, do not this abominable thing that I hate. Verse 16. And for the word that thou hast spoken unto us in the name of Yahweh, we will not hearken unto you.
Hey, Jack. You the man. You they say it. Jeremiah, we know you sing in the name of Yahweh, but we're not going to listen to you. We're going to continue to do something and eat some hoes. We're going to continue to do something. And we're going to call on the men in name. We ain't going to listen to you still. It's up to you. But like I said again, I want to make sure my soul be on the right side of the liquor side. You see now, you're not caring about your soul, but my job and the six anointed counts, that's why it's so important to support this ministry and make sure that you be part of the land school back hall radio station, big place. And you come in, sit down, and bring your grandmamas and your aunties and your cousins. Let them hear the word before they get up out of here. And when them babies, wrap out of town, bring them down to the big temple. And we can get them right before they go to kindergarten. They need a pass. So help us help you. Donate. Contribute to this ministry. Hit that PayPal. You know, hit the PayPal box. No? Get in where you fit in at. Be part of the movement, they call it. And when we get there, we're going to be ripped out to peep at some things that we be peeping at. And so we got to get to a great big temple site where we can get there. My fact, you know, had that waiting on me, you know, 218 of Second Ezra, now 25. Had that waiting on me. Might as well take a look at that real quick. Now, see, it's very important to understand something. It's important for you to understand that there's a movement going on, and it's a fight to save. There's a war for your soul, and the other nation trying to keep you in darkness. And we trying to wake you up to come out of this darkness. So there's a war, but you don't know you're in a war. Huh? You're in a war, and you don't even know it. And a war you in by hanging around Lord God Jesus and Allah and Jehovah trying the wrong day. That's a war against you. That's contrary to this Bible. But now mother, D.F. Israel. 1 John 2, 1 down to verse 7 says what?
1 John chapter 2, 1 to 7. Okay. My little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with one son, the righteous. Verse 2. And he is the potent, what?
For
situation.
For
our sins. and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Verse 3, and hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments, his law, his statutes. Verse 4, he that said, I know him and keepeth not his law is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Verse 5, for whosoever keepeth his word in him truly is the love of Yahweh perfect. Hereby know we that we are in him. Verse 6, he that said he abide in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walks. Verse 7, brother, I write no new law or covenant unto you, but an old covenant, the law, which you had from the beginning. The old law is the word which you have heard from the beginning.
Hey, mother, what did they hear in the beginning in Genesis 2, verse 1, 2, and 3? You see, you heard, I mean, I ain't writing out new teas, but he's already, you heard it in the beginning. What did they hear in the beginning in Genesis 2, verse 1, 2, and 3?
You can read it in the beginning. What is that? Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 to 3. Verse 1. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the hosts of them. Verse 2. And on the seventh day, Yahweh ended his works, which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his works, which he had made. Verse 3, and Yahweh blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his works, which Yahweh created and made.
Mm-hmm. He said, in the beginning, he laid this out, the foundation. And what he said in 11 verse 3, mother, of Psalms, what he said about his foundation in Psalms 11 verse 3, he said, in the beginning, I gave you the Sabbath day, the seventh day of the week, which is Sabbath, sundown Friday, sundown Saturday, I gave it to you in the beginning. Yeah, I sent the angel down in 1000 B.C. to talk to David. And in 11 verse 3 of Psalms, what do you say in 11 verse 3 of the book of Psalms? I've been hanging on it, yeah, they put it in writing. What do you say?
Psalms 11 verse 3. If the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do?
You can't do nothing. If you ain't got your foundation, you might lean in the righteousness, 6:25, mother, Deuteronomy. What can the righteous do? You might mean well. Your grandmother might mean well. Or maybe Uncle Buck might mean well. But they got to understand they've been duped in doing the wrong day, wrong name, and not wearing no fringes. They've been duped. See? They've been duped. What you read, mother?
You say Deuteronomy?
Yeah, 6:25.
Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 25. And it shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these Torah instructions, the law, the statute, the commandment, before Yahweh, our Yahweh, as he has commanded us.
See, it's the commandments that keep the law, statutes, and commandments.
Mm.
See, if you're going to be right, what can the righteous do?
Listen, if you will be righteous, you have to keep the law, statutes, and commandments.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Elder, you got to die here, man. In the book of Micah, the seer, he made a profound statement, Elder. And 5 verse 5, he said something in 5 verse 5, Elder. What he said in Micah, now, the angel came out of heaven, and he cornered old Micah. He said something to him to be looking out to happen. And what he said in 5 verse 5?
Book of Micah, chapter 5, verse number 5 reads, this man shall be, this man shall be the peace when the Assyrians shall come into our land, when he shall tread in our palaces, then shall we raise against him 7 shepherds and 8 principal men.
He said, when this man come into your palace, and this man shall came in your palace, he said he's going to raise up, what numbers you got there he's going to raise up there, Elder?
7 shepherds and 8 principal men.
Yeah. How many is 7 and 8, Elder?
15.
That's 15? Okay, good. He said, when this man come into your facility, he's going to raise up these people when they come. Now, what man are you talking about, Elder? We're going to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And we're going to find out what man are you talking about once this man comes into your facility. We're going to read about this man. And Paul's going to take out his handkerchief and wipe his eyes and talk about this man. And let's see if we find out about this man. He said, once this man gets in the position that he's in now, I'm going to raise up 15 principal men. I'm going to raise up 15. Okay, good. What man? 2. 1 down to verse 12. Let's find out what's going on in 2 Thessalonians 2, 1 down to verse 12. Let's see what he's talking about. Let's see if we preach up there and find what man that can come and take over what you got. Then when they take over, I'm going to raise up 15 principal men to help you out. Let's find out. 2, 1 to 12. What's going on here? 2 Thessalonians 2, 1 down to verse 12.
Because 2 Thessalonians 2, 1 through 12 reads. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse number 1. And we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Yahweh, by the coming of our Yahweh the Son, by gathering together unto him. Verse 2. That you be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word, but by the latter as from us, that the day of Yahweh is at hand. Verse number 3. That no man deceive you by any means, that they shall not come, except there come a falling away first, that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Verse number 4. Who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called Yahweh, or that is worshipped, so that he as Yahweh sitteth in the temple of Yahweh, showing himself that he is Yahweh. Verse 5. Remember you not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. Verse 6. Now you know what withholdeth, that he may be revealed in his time. Verse 7. For the mystery of sin doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let, until he be taken out of the way. Verse number 8. Then shall that wicked be revealed, whom Yahweh shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Verse 9. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders. Verse number 10. With all the sinfulness of unrighteousness, and of their perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. Verse 11. For this cause Yahweh shall send them strong delusion,
and they should believe alive. Verse 12. That they all might be damned who believe not the truth, and have pleasure in unrighteousness.
That's big talk. And verse 3, 4, and 8 again, Elder. What is said in 3, 4, and 8 again? What got to happen again according to verse 3, 4, and 8, Elder?
Book of 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 3, verse 4, and verse number 8 reads, 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 3, that no man deceive you by any means, but that they shall not come, except there come a falling away first, that men of sin be revealed, the sign of perdition. Verse number 4, who opposes and exalted himself above all that is called Yahuwah, or that is worship, so that he is Yahuwah, that is in the temple of Yahuwah, showing himself that he is Yahuwah. Verse number 8, then shall that wicked be revealed, and Yahuwah shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming.
Mm-hmm. He said in verse 8, and then shall that wicked, see, they capitalized that wicked right there. This wicked, this wicked right here, he capitalized this wicked. He said, that wicked got to be revealed. See, until you understand that wicked, he opposed everything in the Bible. He opposed everything. He tell you, the Bible tell you that keep the Sabbath day. He said, no, we're going to keep Sunday. The Bible says his name got one name. Mother, dear of Israel. And 6:34 of Deuteronomy, it says one thing, but he says, no, we got to keep something else. Hey, mother, what it says in Deuteronomy 6:34?
Deuteronomy.
Yeah, what is it?
Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. Mm-hmm. Hear, O Israel. Yahuwah, our Yahuwah, is one Yahuwah.
Tell Israel that here, O Israel, Yahuwah is how many, mother?
One Yahuwah.
Mark 12:29. What do you say, Mark 12:29, mother?
Okay.
What do you say, Mark 12:29?
Well.
Mm-hmm.
Mark 12, verse 29. And Yahuwah the Son answered him, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel. Yahuwah, our Yahuwah, is one Yahuwah.
So you can't call them many names, even one Yahuwah. Hey, how many letters is that, mother?
Four letters, YHWH.
That's it. Give me Zechariah
14:9.
Now he didn't come. Then we can bring him now. We can bring him in Zechariah 14:9. He's the hero of 12 tribes of Israel that's scattered. Yahuwah don't have a one name. Four letters. He don't have no three letters, five letters, seven letters. He got a long man called Joel. He ain't none of them at all. He's the hero of Israel. Got a little right. He got one name. Four letters. YHWH. That's it. Hey, hero Israel. Would you listen to Israel? Now he ain't come back. He come back to earth. Let me say 14:9. Listen, mother.
You say go to Sirach? Zechariah 14:9. Okay. Zechariah 14:9. Zechariah chapter 14, verse 9 read. And Yahuwah shall be king over all the earth. In that day shall there be one Yahuwah and his name one.
His name, how many mothers?
One.
How many letters is his name going to be in?
Four letters, YHWH.
You see that? Now, we don't want him. He told Israel, hey, Israel, to a tribe. All he's going to call her is one name. When it's all said and done, when you come back on earth, you have that one name right, or you're going to be in the tribe. Now, El, we read about 15 temple men going to come in the days of Michael. Then we're going to preach up the Bible about who these temple men that's to come in the second book of Ezra, chapter 1, verse 38 to 40. And I'm going to see, can we come up with 15? So he told Michael, he said, Michael, when this wicked come on the scene and take over, everything belongs to the nation of Israel, he said. He said, then I'm going to raise up 15 principal men to start talking some Bible to them and to wake them up. I'm going to raise up 15 of them. That means, remember when the elder read that first verse in 12, verse 7? The body go back to the ground, but the spirit go back to Yahweh. But Yahweh going to put that spirit back off into 15 principal men. But what he says behind these 15 principal men, what he says in Ecclesiastes 1, 9 through 11 about these 15 principal men. Something he said for us to be clear about these 15 principal men. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 9 through 11.
Book of Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse number 9 through 11 reads, Ecclesiastes 1, verse number 9. This thing that has been, the thing that has been, it is that which shall be. That which is done is that which shall be done. There is no new thing under the sun. Verse number 10. Is there anything whereof it may be said, see, this is new. It had been already of old time, which was before us. Verse 11. There is no remembrance of former things. There shall not be any remembrance of things that are to come to those that shall come after.
What did you say? He said that these 15 principal men will be back on the scene, but they will have no memories that they ever been on the scene. So he said in 4:13 to Daniel, elder, he told something to Daniel in Daniel 12:13. What did he say to Daniel in 12:13, elder?
Book of Daniel 12. Verse number 13 reads, Book of Daniel chapter 12, verse number 13. But go thy way to the end be, for you shall rest and stand in thy lot at the end of thy day.
Uh-huh. So he told Daniel, go your way, Daniel. Read verse 8.
Daniel 12. Verse number 8. And I heard, but I understood not. Then said I, O Yahweh, what shall be the end of these things?
Oh, so Daniel said, I didn't understand this thing. He said, well, go your way, Daniel, and stand in your lot. Let Daniel know he will be back in the end. Daniel will be back in the end. But look what he says. And Amos 3, verse 7. But they're not going to know that they spirit is back in this person. They're not going to know it. Matter of fact, give me the book of Micah, chapter 4, verse 4 down to verse 6, elder. Let me get warmed up real quick on Malachi. Malachi, chapter 4, verse 4 down to verse 6. What is the hell?
Book of Malachi 4, verse number 4 through 6 reads, Malachi 4, verse 4, remember you the law of Moses, my servant,
which I commanded unto him in Horeb for all Israel, with the statutes and judgments. Verse 5, Behold, I send you Elijah, the seer, before the coming of the great and dreadful day of Yahweh. Verse number 6, And he shall turn the mind of the fathers to the children, the mind of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse.
So again, he reminding the seers on what he gonna do. I'm gonna send them back to you, but they're not gonna know who they are. But somebody got to be in place to know who they are. Find out here in Amos 3:7. Now let's get the dramatic on the table. Who will know when these men are old is back on scene? Because the enemy have taken your place, they in presence. So now, who will have this knowledge to know what to look for according to Amos 3:7?
Look at Amos 3. Verse number 7 reads. Look at Amos 3. Verse number 7. Surely, Yahweh will do nothing, but he revealed his secret to his servant, the seer.
You see what the man said? He said, now when I reveal this thing, the only one gonna have this information about these 15 principal men is the seer. Now we're gonna get a precept on that in 10:7 of Revelation. That's what he said in 10:7. That's why it's very important to one day you recognize that in your midst is a seer with the proper information about these 15 to come. What it say in 10:7? Revelation.
Revelation, chapter 10, verse number 7 reads. Look at Revelation 10. Look at Revelation chapter 10. Verse number 7 reads. Revelation 10, verse 7. But in the days of the voice of the seven minister spirits, he shall begin to sound. The mystery of Yahweh shall be finished, as he has spoken, as he has declared to his servants, the seers.
Hate that. Yeah. So he says 15 men got to return in 2 Ezra 1:38-40. Let's find what the 15 men's name is. Let's see if we get 15 out of this here. Hey, mother, make sure you count it, mother, and make sure that it lines up with Micah 5:5 on these 15. 2 Ezra, chapter 1, 38,000, verse 40, where's the help?
Book of 2 Ezra, chapter 1, verse 38 through 40 reads, And now, brother, behold, what honor, and see the people that cometh from the east. Verse 39, to whom I will give for leaders Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, Hosea, Amos, and Micah, Joel, and Darius, and Jonah, verse 40, Nahum, Habakkuk, Sophonius, Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi, which is called also an angel of Yahweh.
So how many did you count, mother? Hey, yo, how many was counting there? How many was counting? How
15.
Many was
15.
Thank you, mother. All right, yo. 15. So they're going to probably 15 to come. Okay. But they're not going to know who they are. I'm all recognized in the field. Let's go to Captain Ezra 2. Verse 48 to 25, yo. 2 Ezra 2:14-25. Listen to this. 2 Ezra 2:14-25. He said, these 15 men's gonna come when the wicked take over your property. They done that already. He said, well, I want to recognize the 15 men's by name is the fear. 2 Ezra 2:14-25.
The book of 2 Exodus, chapter 14, 14 through 25 reads. 2 Exodus 14, verse number 14 through 25. 2 Exodus, chapter 14, verse 14. They go from thee, mortal thoughts. Cast away the burden of men. Put off now the weak nature. Verse 15. And set aside the thoughts that are most heavy unto thee. And haste thee to flee from these times. Verse 16. For yet greater evils than those which thou hast seen happen shall be done hereafter. Verse 17. For look how much the world shall be wicker to aid, so much the more shall evil increase upon them that dwell therein. Verse 18. For the truth is fled far away, and leeching is hard at hand. But now hastens the vision to come, which thou hast seen. Verse 19. Then I fly before thee and say, verse 20. Behold, Yahweh, I will go, as thou hast commanded me, and reprove the people which are present. But they that shall be born afterwards, who shall admonish them? Thus the world is set in darkness. They that dwell therein are without light. Verse number 21. For the law is burnt, therefore no man knoweth the thing that is done of thee, or the works that shall begin. Verse 22. If I have found mercy, grace, before thee, send the righteous spirit unto me, and I shall write all that have been done in the world since the beginning, which were written thy law, that man may find thy path, that they may, and that they which shall live in the latter days may live. Verse 23. And he answered me, saying, go thy way, gather the people together, and say unto them, that they seek thee not for 40 days. Verse 24. Look thou, but look, thou prepare thee many box trees, and take with thee Siri, Barbaria, Shilomet, Ekanut, Asiel, these five which are ready to write swiftly. Verse 25. Come hither, and I shall light a candle of understanding in thy mind, which shall not be put out till the thing be performed, which thou hast begun to write.
That was excellent, Elder. Now, Elder, that was so excellent, Elder, that now you look at that second Ezra real carefully, too, and give me one, two, in verse 18 out of verse 20, and we'll just back it down from there. So, Elder, that was excellent you had, Elder. But now we're going to look at second Ezra real carefully, chapter 2. Matter of fact, read 1 down to verse 5, then skip down to verse 18. This one. This is real good, Elder. You don't stop now, no doubt about it. 2 Ezra 2, 1 down to verse 5, then skip down to verse 18, verse 20, and we'll start closing it down after your close. We're saying 2 Ezra chapter 2, 1 down to verse 5, 14, make it 14 to 20 in the closing statement. Hey, come on.
The book of 2 Ezra, chapter 2, verse number 1 through 5, number 18 through 20 reads. 2 Ezra 2, verse number 1. The say of Yahweh, I brought this people out of bondage, and I gave them my commandments by my servants, the seers, whom they would not hear, but despise my counsel. Verse 2. The mother that bare them said unto them, go your way, you children, for I am a widow and forsaken. Verse number 3. I brought you up with gladness, but with sorrow and heaviness have I lost you. You have sinned before Yahweh and done that thing that is evil before him. Verse 4. But what shall I now do unto you? I am a widow and forsaken. Go your way, O my children, and ask mercy of Yahweh. Verse number 18. For thy help will I send my servant Isaiah and Jeremiah after those come
after whose counsel have sanctified prepared for the 12 trees, they with diverse fruit. Verse 19, and as many fountains flowing with milk and honey, as having mighty mountains, whereupon there grow roses, lilies, whereby will fill thy children with joy. Verse 20, you write to the widow, judge for the fatherless, give to the poor, defend the orphan, clothe the naked.
Read verse 18 in Psalm 7 and Elder. Read verse 18 again. He said he's going to do what in verse 18?
Book of 2nd Exodus 2. Verse number 18 reads, for thy help will I send my servants, Isaiah and Jeremiah, to those after whose counsel have sanctified and prepared for thee 12 trees, laid with diverse fruit.
Ain't that something? He said he's going to raise up two more spheres. And he's going to send them to you for your help. But they're not going to know who they are. But the seer of their time going to know who they are. But they not going to know. He said, I'm going to send you help once the wicked have established themselves. The wicked have established themselves, and they have established themselves real good. Real good. So we know that part don't happen. But this part has not happened. This part is waiting on the seer to identify these people. That's why it's so important to help you. Land School Banquet Hall, radio station, Red Pickle Temple site. Or take a bullhorn and hear around it, and talk around it. So these people are going to come in, and the seer gonna recognize them from the page of the book. So you see, keep that in your mind. The secrets of the Bible have been told to the seer. It's just what seer will be of the hour that point them out. You got one now, only he can be replaced according to 7:15. You got a dial. So right now, the seer is all you got once you understand scripture. Hey, excellent on your part. Hold them safe and take your time, Elder. And you have done your part in grand style. What's close thing behind that is? Come out.
Hallelujah, qua, hallelujah, qua, hallelujah, qua. To the next go around, Yahweh be with you, and Yahweh bless you. Shalom, shalom.
How about you? Now, listen. Did y'all understand this on take 126? So, Mother, dear Israel, when we read Ezekiel 33, verse 39 to verse 33, Mother, dear of Israel, we should be on something if we remember. Mother read earlier in Luke 24, verse 32 and 45. Then our mind burn when you open up the scripture to you. Listen, we just open up the scripture exactly how these 15 simple men that don't know they back in somebody's spirit, then he added two more to them. So it's 17 men got to be identified by the seer. Whoever seer of that time will be identified him that they're not going to know who they are. But their actions, the seer going to know through their actions who they are. You got that? What you ready to read, Mother? Ezekiel 33, mm-hmm. Verse 30 down to verse 33. What you read, Mother?
Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 30. To 33. And it reads, also, thou son of man, the children of your people still are talking against you by the walls and in the doors of the house, and speaking one to another, everyone to his brother, saying, come, I pray you, and hear what is the word that cometh forth from Yahuwah. 31. And they come unto you as the people cometh, and they set before you as my people, and they hear your word, but they will not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their minds go after their covetousness. 32. And lo, thou art unto them as a very lovely song of one that has a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument. For they hear your words, but they do them not. 33. And when this cometh to pass, lo, it will come. Then shall they know that a seer has been among them.
See, we don't know where you're going to be going or what you'll be saying. You might be just watching clothes. And soon as it's going to hit you one day that a seer is in the midst of me. And the one you hear the voice of the seer, you get in, that's the one he's talking about until